Karima Brown, live,
online,
smartphones,
DSTV,
and 92.7,
and 106 FM.
8 minutes after 8 o'clock, the National Prosecuting Authority has confirmed that it will provisionally withdraw corruption charges against former President Jacob Zuma's son, Duduzani Zuma, in the Specialized Commercial Crimes Court tomorrow. Zuma is not completely off the hook, though, as the NPA say the reason for dropping the charges is that the evidence of Mkhwebisi Jonas is giving at the Commission of Inquiry into State Capture has not yet been finalized. It is understood that Zuma's lawyers were notified yesterday about the decision via a letter. The letter, which we have in our possession, gives its reasons for the withdrawal, the fact that Mr. Jonas's evidence before the Zondo Commission has not been finalized, adding that it is in the interests of justice not to proceed with a criminal case at this stage. Well, joining me now for the nuts and bolts of the reasoning of the NPA is a specialist, a reporter and journalist at TISO Blackstar, Karen Morn. Karen, good evening. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Karima.
And then I'm also joined by advocate Stephanie Fick. She's the head of legal affairs at ARTA, which is the Organization for Undoing Tax Abuse. Ms. Fick, good evening. Welcome to the program.
Good evening, Karima, and good evening, Karen.
Now, let me get straight to it, ladies. Karen, I've got the letter in my hand here. It says the state versus Duduzani Zuma, and then it says receipt of your letter dated 21st January 2019 is hereby acknowledged, and it contends and its contents are noted. Kindly be advised that the state intends to withdraw charges against Mr. Duduzani Zuma on the 24th of January 2019 due to the fact that Mr. Jonas's evidence before the State of Capture Commission led by the Chief Justice Zondo has not been finalized. It's in the interest of justice not to proceed with the final criminal case at this stage. You've covered a lot of these trials. You've covered a lot of filibustering on the part of people who are being charged. Is this a good enough reason for the NPA to provisionally withdraw charges from Mr. Duduzani Zuma?
Remember that Mr. Zuma was charged in July last year when it was, you know, it was the I think the Commission of Inquiry actually got its work underway in August.
Yes.
So it was not an unknown issue that the Hawks knew that, in fact, Mr. Jonas, who had been a pivotal part in the kind of State of Capture report, would be a witness and would be testifying on this issue. So why the decision was taken to then charge Mr. Zuma in the way, maybe potentially because of the fact that he was out of the country and they took advantage of him returning to South Africa to arrest him. But it just seems to me that there's a kind of profound absence of strategy and legal thinking here. And I'm not, you know, it raises, Karima, potentially thorny questions about the relationship between the kind of evidence that's coming out at this inquiry and law enforcement pursuing that evidence in its own processes that I think needs to be resolved. Remember, President Cyril Ramaphosa has made it very clear that law enforcement must not expect the State Capture
Commission to replace its work.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, exactly. So I think that there needs to be a sort of greater explanation for what exactly has occurred here. And, you know, we need to understand if this is going to be the attitude taken to other matters, for instance, for the SASA issue, which is also being considered by the NPA. They have come forward and said that the final docket, as I understand, was presented on the 14th of January, and a decision will be made on the SASA. Now, is a similar logic going to apply in that case?
Absolutely.
I'm really not sure.
Absolutely. And, of course, it is not rational because it is not the commission or the police investigating charges against these individuals. These are separate processes. They might, converge at some point. Advocate Stephanie Fick, the attitude of the NPA should be concerning to South Africans, shouldn't it?
Of course. So I think I can reiterate what was just said, is that the concern is if what they are saying applies to the Duduzani Zuma, what's going to happen to the rest of the potential accused and corrupt charges that can come out of the commission. The commission's intent was never to... it's not a criminal trial. So
yes.
I'm of the opinion that these are two totally separate issues,
yes.
and that it should go parallel. And that one is concerned that the question around is, but where is the Hawks, where is the police and all these revelations that's happening at the commission? Why don't we have more accused in front of a court so that we can start prosecuting these accused? So if the NPA is now deciding not to prosecute Duduzani Zuma, what message does this send? What has been the purpose of the commission?
Absolutely. Karen Moon, some people argue that the NPA is playing it safe. It wants a watertight case. But it looks as if the NPA is depending on the Commission of Inquiry to be its main source of information, whilst it is meant to, of course, use the Hawks to gather that information guided by the prosecutors. And, of course, we all know that Mr. Duduzani Zuma is not just implicated by Mr. Jonas. In fact, he's implicated by several individuals, including a former cabinet minister, Mr. Nwako Ramatlodi. And of course, he has indicated that he will be cross-questioning these individuals, which means he too has to go before the commission. But nothing in law prevents the Hawks from calling Mr. Duduzani Zuma in for questioning and interrogating him about these matters. I mean, it's a simple question. Were you on the flight? Weren't you on the flight? Take the security cameras at the Hyatt Hotel and see whether you were there. Look at the phone records. That has absolutely nothing to do with the commission into state capture.
Well, the bigger question is that the Jonas matter, you know, it was a very strange one for them to pursue because it was essentially a he said, she said kind of scenario where you have a lot of, if you look at the Gupta leaks emails, the kind of evidence, that evidence has been taken in by the inquiry. It's now available to the Hawks. You know, there are substantive kind of sophisticated, allegations of kind of money laundering, of, you know, real kind of conflicts of interest, far more complex and compelling cases than perhaps a conversation in Sachsenwald.
Yes.
It may have been something that they felt would be more of a slam dunk opportunity for them to prove to the South African public that they were in fact doing something about state capture. But as with the Estina matter, which ended so disastrously, the absence of apparent attempts to do, you know, proper investigation seemed to have fallen flat. The problem as well is that there is a lot of suspicion still towards the Hawks and the NPA. And
yes.
We saw that with Mr. Jonas's evidence himself. He said he was very reluctant, and I'm not at this stage not even sure if he has given a statement. He was very reluctant to engage with the Hawks because of this belief that law enforcement was itself captured. And then, of course, Karima, we hear this evidence which will come out with Mr. Greasy about allegations about very senior prosecutorial officials being bribed. And the average South African will look at this and think, you know, what can I go to law enforcement believing an outcome?
Absolutely. And in fact, it is Mr. Jonas who said that he was actually approached by the Hawks to try and make this matter go away. There was actually someone actively from law enforcement that didn't want to take his affidavit.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, there's this kind of shroud of suspicion still. I mean, I think the Hawks and the NPA are coming out with, you know, messages about really wanting to take corruption seriously. They're part of this anti-corruption task team. They're trying to take these matters seriously. But, for instance, with Eskom and the Trillion matter and the kind of manifest malfeasance that occurred there, you know, the failure to really pursue cases with that is problematic. And the Bisasa case itself, it has been sitting on the NPA's desk for the last decade. And that is staggering considering that we know that there is this detailed forensic investigation that was done by the SIU and that there was so much material available. from various individuals who spoke to them.
And the same goes for the case in the SABC. The SIU had done extensive work, put it before the NPA, and it stalled there. It looks as if the NPA remains a captured institution. Shamila Batoy's to-do list is just getting longer by the day, Advocate Fick. There are rumours. There's a piece written by Franny Rabkin from the Mail and Guardian that says Hlongwane and Duduzani on Jonas blackmailing rumours. And essentially it sets out that the infamous meeting at Saxon World with the former minister was merely to clear up rumours that Hlongwane was blackmailing Jonas. In sworn statements submitted to the Commission of Inquiry into State Capture, the two also insisted that at no point during the meeting was the position of finance minister offered to Mr. Jonas. Also, Zuma said there was no threat made to Mr. Jonas's life. And so you have a version here that the meeting did happen, but it didn't, it wasn't concerned with the issues of trying to offer him a position in the executive in exchange for a bribe and in exchange for doing work. Now, Karen, you're talking about a he said, she said situation, but that is not the only issue that pertains to Mr. Duduzani Zuma and State Capture. He has been fingered in quite a number of instances where he's the person that leaned on people on behalf of, for example, his father. In the case of Mr. Noako Ramatlodi, he was in the company of, for example, Dr. Benu Ngubane at the time. Surely the NPA must give us reasons. When I spoke with Luvuyo Mfaku this morning to confirm whether this letter that I had in my possession was in fact real, because these days people are also inserting fake news into the narrative. So I wanted to make sure that the letter that I had was in fact a letter from the NPA, and he confirmed that it was a letter from the NPA, but that they are not speaking on the matter. Surely that can't be the case, Advocate Fick. The NPA owes the nation an explanation.
I wholeheartedly agree with you. I think it's ironic that the NPA uses the phrase "in the interest of justice." Doesn't South Africa, the South African citizens, don't we deserve a better explanation than the interest of justice? And isn't it in the interest of justice that we start getting answers? I think we've all heard the horror stories. We are, every day that the state capture hears the evidence, you know, it was reported extensively, the good to mail, the corruption. Isn't it time that there's action and that, yes, our justice system makes provision for the fact that right to a fair trial, but I think it's time that we get to the trial and get some answers. And this is what worries me, is that we know that the State Capture Inquiry is valuable. A lot of things is coming to the fore.
Mm.
But the State Capture Inquiry doesn't have the power to sanction. They don't have the power to sentence.
Mm.
And I think that if someone, well, we have a system, you need to go through trial. And if you are found guilty, then we can put the criminals in jail. But I think it's high time. I think as South Africans, we deserve this process. And it's in the interest of justice that we continue.
Absolutely. It's gone 21 minutes after 8 o'clock. I'm in conversation with specialist reporter and journalist at Tiso Blackstar, Karen Morn, and head of legal services at Outer Advocate, Stefanie Fick. And we're talking about the NPA's decision to provisionally withdraw charges against the son of former President Jacob Zuma, Mr. Duduzani Zuma. Karen Morn, is this decision by the NPA challengeable? Remember, the NPA did precisely the same thing with Mr. Zuma Senior. They withdrew the charges. The DA spent 9 years fighting the decision and eventually won, and the charges are now reinstated. Are we getting back into that territory?
Look, I think legally speaking, it's a slightly different situation, because with Zuma Senior, remember, they said that the prosecution was so irretrievably tainted by the so-called spy tape recordings, that they could not continue with it.
Yeah.
In this situation, they're saying, look, it's provisionally withdrawn, and we will want to wait until the finalization if that's what they're saying, Mr. Jonas's evidence at the state capture inquiry or the finalization of the inquiry itself. We still don't know. They have to clarify that before we potentially reinstate the charges. So they're not... I think it would possibly be a bit difficult to legally review it because they're saying that, you know, we're not saying that there's no case here. We're just saying that in these particular circumstances, we've decided to make this decision. But I do think the NPA need to clarify what their stance is, and they need to say what this kind of decision says in relation to the other matters that may spring
precisely
from the inquiry. Because, like with the SASA alone, I mean, I understand from speaking to people within the law enforcement circles that the SASA docket, as I said before, the NPA has told us that they are going to make a decision, that the docket is handed over to prosecutors and they are going to make a decision. So if they use the same precedent and say, well, you know, Mr. Greasy is still under evidence, therefore we can't charge, we can't do anything, I think that's going to send a very worrying signal. And as we have discussed so many times before, South Africans are exhausted by corruption. And people are desperately hungry for some kind of display that there will be a form of accountability. And I think the NPA needs to think long and hard about what stance it adopts about evidence that emerges in the state capture inquiry and what influence this has on their processes, and articulate that in a way that is meaningful to the South African public.
The question of the NPA coming away with saying, we're not saying there isn't a case, we're provisionally withdrawing the case. I mean, their legal arguments for doing so, Advocate Stefanie Fick, does it actually hold water?
I've been trying to think if there's, not that I want to think for the NPA, but you always really try to think, but isn't there a reasonable explanation? And I have to apologize. I don't know. I honestly don't know. It just doesn't make sense. I think it's unreasonable. The NPA is in a unique situation. We need to turn the ship around. We need to again say to the public and say to all of us, you can trust us. We can assist in the high crime rate. We're gonna change and we're gonna prosecute the corrupt individuals, we're gonna prosecute crime in this country, and then they come with this decision.
Mm-hmm.
Now unless there's something else, then I would beg them to please come to us and say what the real reason reasons are. But that in itself, in my mind, is a big question mark.
Karen, as a final question, because we're running out of time, we saw a couple of moves by NPA provincial heads this weekend. That's passed. Advocate Noko Moiponi Noko signed off on the arrest of the SANCO president, which effectively stopped the conference and allowed, according to SANCO insiders, Mr. Roy Moodley, together with the MEC of the Free State in Arts and Culture, to take that kind of conference over. And there she exercised her right as an NPA head to make a decision. She's notorious for acting irrationally on a number of issues. She has, for example, allowed known criminals that are linked to Mr. Zuma's son, Edward, to get away. One of the first lady's charges against her was dropped. She was the one who charged General Johan Boysen. She was also the one who charged the judge president of that court in KwaZulu-Natal for a year, and then just withdraw the case against him. She's seen as a very close ally of Advocate Nkomo Jiba and Mr. Mruebe. And of course, who would have had to sign off on provisionally dropping the charges against Mr. Zuma? Would it have been Mr. Silas Ramaite?
My understanding is that it would have been the prosecutor responsible for the case, and that's simply because you know, in these matters, if an issue is taken on review or whatever, or there's a desire to review it within the NPA, then obviously Silas Ramayite would be the one that would make that decision. So I understand that it was actually the prosecutor involved in the case, but I mean, I'm certain that the advocate would have been aware of it. There is a part of me that wonders if this is a desire to potentially take this kind of thorny issue off the table for Shamila Bitsoy, that she doesn't walk into a situation where her new dawn at the NPA is sullied by a decision to withdraw the Dzane Zuma prosecution. But on the Norco issue, I'm actually quite surprised that, as we've seen with Jiba, with a number of organizations, there haven't been further attempts by, for instance, the GCB or even legal bodies to challenge her fitness to occupy that position.
Yeah.
Because there have been very serious judgments made against her, as there have been with Advocate Jiba, which effectively, you know, impugn, you know, they suggest that her fitness has been impugned. And I'm, you know, I think that her leadership, particularly in KZN, particularly given that she is essentially exercising oversight over the Jacob Zuma prosecution, will be something that will have to be addressed by Advocate Bitsoy when she comes into office.
Absolutely. It looks as if there will have to be a real shake-up in the NPA when Shamila Bitsoy takes up her position on the 1st of February. Karen Morn, thank you very much. That was Karen Morn from Tiso Blackstar and, of course, the head of legal affairs at Outer Advocate Stefanie Fick.